Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hello, welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda, and we have a very, very special guest. You guys know her. It is Courtney Miller.
Hello.
Yeah.
You guys have been waiting for this one for a little bit. It would have been really funny if it was Angela and Chance.
Yeah. I should have worn my pink jumpsuit today, but no.
I thought about it. I have my lime shirt in my bag, but I was like, no.
No, we can't. We can't do that to you guys.
Not again.
It could have been Angela Chance and then Courtney here, and they just go
about
it. Oh, my
God.
That's true. That's true.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah.
We're married.
We're married.
We're married.
Whoa, what? Dude, I had no idea.
There are people still, and I mean, the reason I was like, we were like, we need to actually talk about it a little bit, is there are still comments of people like, wait, are they? Are they actually?
Yeah.
It's been a month, and there's still people who are
guys
unsure.
They're married.
I saw a comment on my post yesterday on Instagram that was like, my friend thinks you guys are dating. L them.
Major L.
Well, people didn't know that you guys were dating, and then they found out that you guys were married.
Yeah, we didn't tell anyone.
Outside of, like, everyone in our world knew that we were together.
Oh, yeah, so.
Yeah, because some people thought we didn't tell anyone.
No, everyone here knew.
So, yeah, I knew.
You knew fully.
I knew. We all knew, but we were all like, respectfully, it's your privacy. So
yeah, no, and it shows, like, when people talk about like, oh, it's such a cool dynamic that everyone at Smosh has, I think it was such proof that like everyone knew and everyone respected our privacy.
Yep.
And that's such a cool thing. Like everyone, not just cast, like all the crew, everyone who works at Smosh knew and just was like, okay, cool.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't know where to begin.
I know.
There's a lot. It's kind of cool that you guys are coming on and doing this episode. Like, it's cool because, yes, you guys released that you were married on April Fool's, and then we had the pod with us, aka Chance and Angela. So people were like, wait, what? And I think it was really fun because it was a prank, but it was also just like, we're having fun with telling this news.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So,
and you guys recorded that podcast
before.
That was like the day before we left, right? And we eloped.
No, I think it was like a week or so before. I think it was a little bit before.
Yeah. Time is so blurry from that era because we were meanwhile in the thick of shooting so much stuff, including the promo for the live show you created.
Yeah.
So
it's been a busy month. So and that's part of the reason why so many episodes of Smosh Mouth were shot like a while ago.
Yeah.
And so people have been like, wait, okay, I can tell this one was shot before they were married. This one's actually one of our quickest turnarounds of an episode ever.
This is going to release like 4 days from now.
We're recording this like Thursday and it's Monday.
Being released on We Will Have Been Married for a Month.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Whoa, what?
It feels like, no, it's been a blur.
That actually blows my mind. It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
No, it's really trippy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's a goal for us for the podcast, is to make it like,
yeah.
We're trying to work our way there with our schedule.
To get more topical.
To film it and release it sooner. We're working on it. But also, you can see, the set.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Look at this. For those that's watching, different. That's different.
That's the real tell-all right now.
Yeah. It's like, guys, what if we only talked about the set? We don't talk about anything.
No, we can't do that to them. But look at.
The whole soundstage is different right now. You just can only see this corner.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. I'm excited.
Sick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm trying to, let's start at, we got married. We did a small,
you guys eloped.
Little elopement. Yeah. At the same place that you got married, Amanda.
Yes. And we were thinking like, oh, I don't know if fans know that we got married at the same place, but I think there were a couple comments that were like, oh, you guys got married at the same place.
Some people figured it out. Nice.
Isn't that so wild?
Mm-hmm.
People be figuring that stuff out.
People are detectives.
I mean, I loved getting married there.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
Oh,
it was a great spa. It's incredible. Santa Barbara is such a gorgeous city, and I love the beach, and it's just like the air is so fresh and nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a really nice day. We kept it super small, and Brennan, who, you know, he does camera stuff here a little bit, he took our pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
And I mean, gorgeous.
So casually taking photos.
Yeah.
It's the best photo I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's crazy because one of those photos, the hard launch post, we're like standing and there's like window arch things, and people pointed out that we made a heart shape, and I did not realize that. Brennan, I meant to ask you, did you know that you were making a heart when you took that photo? See,
Brennan
says no. None of us realized that it was a heart.
It's just the universe telling us that we're perfect.
You guys are just under love.
That was an accident.
That's a good sign.
It was really, really cool. Every photo, though, was incredible.
And you guys were in this amazing field of poppies.
Yeah, that was there's a botanic garden there. And we went there. And the poppies.
This is the top. This is the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to look back on my photos and see if there's any hearts.
You got to look for some hearts.
Probably not.
Look for some hearts.
But,
secret Mickey.
But
oh,
there
no.
was a hidden Mickey
oh,
there.
No.
but yeah, the poppies were in full bloom, and it was just really cool. The sun was out, and then we were lucky because the sun was out in the morning because we got married like early morning.
Yeah, like most of the day.
And then rained like crazy.
Yeah.
So we got that good luck without.
Wait, that's good luck.
Yeah, but we got it. But it didn't impact us.
Don't sleep on spring. I didn't realize how incredible, like H is obsessed with spring. And I was like, we're going to get married in spring. Okay. It is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
The roses, it rained the night before ours. So like, it brought this beautiful, like green, fresh, like, and the courthouse looks amazing in the spring. Like everything is blooming, and it's not like you're not dying of heat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just go and you do it.
And there's a lot of things that were like kind of amiss. Like you almost didn't get your suit. I completely forgot our bouquet that I tried to make the night before.
You made a whole bouquet and what's the thing?
And a boutonniere.
A boutonniere. And what's funny is
I forgot a pin for his boutonniere. I was like, damn it. And my best friend Bree from like my childhood, she was going to be coming. I was like, can you bring a pin when you come? And she's like, yeah, no problem. Then we show up to the courthouse and I'm like hugging her hello. And she's like, I have the pin right here. And I was like, oh, I don't have the bouquet or boutonniere. Oh, well.
But then in the courthouse are a bunch of like fake flowers at every desk. And our friend just grabbed one of them and was just like, here's your bouquet. And then we took one of the flowers out of that and made a little boutonniere out of
stuck
that.
Stuck it into your suit.
And then what's funny, though, is that some fans were like, oh, it's not real because you can tell those are fake flowers. Meanwhile, like, there's a funny story to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of.
Wait, I actually didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just kind of worked out perfectly.
And then speaking of your suit.
Yeah. So my suit.
I knew about that.
Yeah. That everyone here knew how much I was stressing about that shit. So
a lot of people wanted to know where your suit was from.
Yeah. So because we were eloping and it was going to be a smaller thing and we weren't like wasn't going to be too expensive, I was like, OK, I've always wanted to have like a suit that fits me well.
Yeah.
And I never have felt like I've gotten that. Every suit is either too tight or just I look like a little kid. So I really wanted to get one. So I found like a tailor and I was like, I'm going to get measured for a suit. And I'm gonna have one made for me. And I had this image in my head for so long of like this like brown suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go and I get measured for it months ago, like months before. And they're like, okay, it'll be ready probably like end of February, early March. Then they called me later, like a month later. And they're like, it'll probably be ready like mid March.
Ooh,
okay, I need it. I need it March 28th, because that's when I need it by then, because we're going to Santa Barbara. And then they get it, and they try to ship it to me, and then FedEx just kind of like
lost it.
They sort of lost it. I don't know what really happened, but literally the day before, less than 24 hours before we're getting married, I get called, and they're like, hey, we have your suit.
The tailor's like,
we have your suit. And I was like, great, but they're far away. They're like hours drive away. That's why I was like, yeah, ship it. So I drive hours to go get this suit, and I'm just like, I hope it fits well, because I can't, no adjustment.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can do.
I drove hours the opposite way. I drive back, and then we go to Santa Barbara that day. So I was like in the car for like 5 hours.
I remember you being like, I'm not gonna get it. We were like, you're gonna get it.
Really bummed, and we even went and got another suit,
a backup
black suit, which now I'm like, great, I'll wear that for who memed it. But I'm so glad I got that brown suit, because I don't know, it just felt like it fit, and with all our photos.
And it's so nice for the courthouse. Like, the courthouse is that beautiful, like, ivory and brown and, like, a little bit of reddish and then green.
That was awesome.
You looked great.
And you had that black tie that you chose. We kind of chose last minute.
Yeah, it all worked out.
It all worked out, because I had a different dress that I was planning on wearing that was, like, more of an off-white. Because I knew your shirt with your suit originally was going to be like an ivory off-white. And then the closer we got to the wedding day, my dress that I had, I was like, I don't feel right in it. Like, I always struggle with a balance of femininity or just structure in my wardrobe. And so I was like, I can't. And then I was like, I'm going to wear this white dress, which I ended up wearing. And then because you had your backup suit that came with a white shirt, you ended up being able to wear that white shirt. And like, some people don't care about that stuff. Like, I like color coordinating.
Yeah.
But I ended up looking all so good.
Well, it mattered to us because that was all we were bringing to it.
You know?
Like it wasn't like
that was all we had.
We didn't set up a wedding, so it was like we're going to this courthouse, and what we have is what we're wearing, and I think it really was perfect.
Yeah,
that's so nice. I love having the smaller wedding, is then you can focus on the actual details, and you should be in something that you feel so good in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and like comfortable, and it's fitted, and that's when you spend a little bit more time, a little bit more money on that. That's the best part about a small wedding.
It felt great.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and it was just this very private, quiet affair. And that's kind of funny, because then come Monday, and we had planned for months.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like always our intention. We knew at a certain point that we were going to eventually like
announce
after we were married. We made that decision a long time
ago. Yeah, like a long time ago. We're like, yeah, well, we'll probably like announce with like wedding photos.
Yeah.
And then I pitched early this year, I was like, how about this date, and how about we announce on April Fool's Day? It's kind of funny, and we're comedians, and so like, how about it? And like, every time we told people that was like kind of what we were thinking, everyone was like, oh my God, that's so awesome, you gotta do that. And so we're like, all right, like, seems like the plan.
We'll do it. So Monday comes around, and we are on set, and so not only did everyone at Smosh know about this, everyone was there with us when we posted it. And I remember we were on like the Try Not to Laugh set.
I had a beard drawn on my face.
Yeah.
Or wait, maybe I hadn't yet, or maybe I don't remember.
But we were filming the trailer for Smosh the sitcom, and we pulled out our phones, and we're like, all right, we're gonna do it. And then we kind of like let everyone know. We're like, all right, everyone, we're gonna do this, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
And then we did, and then we just put our phones away.
Yeah, because we had to keep filming.
All right, we got to get back to work.
I think Angela
like filmed the moment we hit post, and everyone was like, woo, all right, okay, and settle, and we'll, okay, right. Our speeds.
Back to work.
Back to the old grind.
Yep.
And then the podcast was on a countdown.
Oh, dude, that was so
after your
fun.
Post.
That was so fun, because that's when I think things started to ramp up. People were like, what's going on?
That was really cool, because we were all here watching like the countdown go, and then immediately it's Angela in your Limes shirt. Like,
oh my
dude,
God.
Dude, it's the funniest intro on this show by far. The way she's just posed,
she's
there.
Like, with
I love
fucking
them.
Is incredible.
Muscles.
She was working on her impression of you all day when she first came in. She's like, hey, how's it going?
She was method. Oh, yeah. And like an hour or two before, when she got fully in the costume, she sends me a photo of just her in the full costume. She's just like, I'm locking in.
They killed it. And Chance was like going over all the things. He's like, okay, Boston is crazy. Dunkin' Donuts. Like he was going over all
worked
the things.
Everywhere.
They were so invested in like trying to pull off this great, and they killed it. They did a whole episode fully improvised as us while keeping the fun game of like, guys, yeah. I got a big announcement. Walk down the aisle. In Baldur's Gate.
Funniest shit ever.
So good.
Because I know Angela doesn't know anything about Baldur's Gate. So I'm like, yeah, all right.
She knows enough.
Yeah, I mean, it was just weird because that day things just kind of kept ramping up. I don't know what I expected.
I was nervous for a lot more like of a negative response. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think it was like fear of people being like, ew, they were siblings, or like, or just also being nervous about like people, like, because there were people who were like, I thought you were lesbian. And I was like, never said that, but okay. Mm-hmm. And then
pick a side.
And then we also, like, I thought, like, oh, come on, it's going to be wedding photos. No one's going to think it's a prank. Like, they're going to think it's real. But people really thought, they think Smosh is really that talented that we would pull something off that's that big.
We pulled off pranks, but that's on another level.
No.
I mean, we kind of thought, okay, all of these photos we're putting in there, the level of it, all the locations. People are going to think it's a prank at first, but they're going to realize by the end of the day that it's real.
Yeah, which...
And people really, really thought that we could pull off a prank of that level. And people thought that there was, like, AI involved.
Oh, my God.
That they're like, see, like, this is fake here because you can tell or whatever.
I think when you're a comedian, they don't see, like, you doing real stuff. I remember I posted a video of my engagement, and my director at UCB was like, dude, I thought that was a total prank. I was waiting for you to be like,
what?
Have like a whole thing. And I was like, wait, oh. Sometimes when you're a comedian, it's like, wait, huh?
Yeah, like part of me wonders if we hadn't posted on April Fool's Day, if people still would have thought it was a prank.
It's possible. I think so. Well, because
yeah,
I guess,
definitely.
And to be fair, it's hard for me to understand the perspective of people didn't even know that we were together.
That you were dating.
So it's a lot all at once, and that's fair.
Yeah, I think maybe we assumed that more people thought we were dating than we realized.
I kind of, for like the past year, just assumed that a lot of people just knew.
Did people not? Were people like, oh, I knew it? Like, what were the majority of the comments?
Plenty of people were like, I knew it.
Okay.
Plenty of people were like, I knew it.
You talk about detectives, like.
Yeah, and I think that's, there's a lot of reasons why we didn't like make it public for a long time. And for me, one of the largest reasons was just that it's always been important to me to draw the line between what is entertainment, what is my job, and what is my private life. There's a lot of things, not just our relationship, but a lot of things that I'm like, I will not talk about it. I don't post about it. Just honestly, that more than anything, just for my own psyche, just that I'm like, I like to keep that as there's no business or like that's not content, that is my life. And I think we're seeing a lot of that online right now where people make too much of their private life content, and then that's damaging, and then you kind of lose track of what your life is.
They lose control over their own privacy.
And it's a tough line to walk at Smosh because we are personalities on camera, so it is us that's on there, and so it was scary to bring that out because I think there is an expectation of like when you're a couple online that's heavily what your content is all about, and that's not really what like we're planning on doing, because I think what we've been doing up until this announcement performance wise like in our videos and stuff, I think it's pretty much going to be the same, because I think also one of my fears was like I didn't want to be now only referred to as Shane's wife. Like, I came to Smosh because I loved comedy. I came here as myself. I'm still myself. Like, nothing has changed in that regard other than how we're being perceived now. And I, as a woman, it can be hard. Like, already on social media, everything I'm doing online, people are assuming it's, like, for Shane. And, like, that's not true. But... hey, you're pretty cool, but
I think women get very pigeonholed when they get married, because I think there's this old belief that a lot of women like open their eyes at birth and they're like, marriage. Because I think that's how we were meant to, you know, continue our lives. But like, you are your own businesswoman. Like, you have your own things going on. Mm-hmm. And you get to like share that with Shane. But also you guys do your own thing and then do things together. And I think some people find that tricky when wife and husband, those words just like change so many things. I remember when I got married and I said husband, I felt like this woman who was like in like a little handkerchief, like at home in the kitchen. Like those words just have so, they hold so it's many true. Old beliefs in it, and they aren't true anymore.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And it's like, not to say like I'm proud to be, I'm proud of this. It's just also, like you said, keeping our work life and our private life as they are.
Yep.
Especially in a time when I think Smosh, people are saying it a lot, but I think Smosh is in such a golden era, and like our dynamic amongst the entire cast is so good. Like everyone is so solid. And what I cherish at Smosh is like this big ensemble friend dynamic. And I think a great thing about us not being public about it is that people really do love us as just individuals, as individual performers and as just a group of friends. And that's still, I think, what Smosh is about.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, friendship always wins. Like that's kind of the thing. And, you know, that's also just a very real part of our relationship still. Mm-hmm. And like, when people are like, oh, I wonder if things are going to change. It's like, no, because this has been the case for a while. Mm-hmm. Like everyone here at Smosh knew that we were together, and this is the dynamic that we have.
It doesn't feel like it's changed on set, but it's cool though.
It is really cool.
You guys now have this like commitment and connection that is really cool that we get to like finally celebrate. Totally. And I think that's what's really exciting and cool for us. But as far as dynamics on set, like it's the same, but it's just cool.
Yeah.
It's better.
Literally, yeah. You know, I was just going to say, like, our hard launch, it honestly was scarier, but felt similar to coming out for me, because it was like this part of myself that isn't really anyone's business, but it is a big part of me. And like, I get to like truly be myself and not be like, it's not that we were hiding anything. It's just we weren't like volunteering that information out. Yeah. But like being able to be like, oh, like, in control again of that, because it felt like a lot of speculation and stuff made it feel very out of my control. Or just it for a long time, it like, and I think why we kept it private for so long was because sometimes online people made it feel not safe to be public about that info. But yeah, like it was a relief. And like, even though all the people in my life that I truly cared about already knew, it was like, we don't have to worry about that anymore, you know?
Yeah. No, it's really cool. And there were moments where I was like, it is weird that it's a thing that people, I'm not being public about. Like when we did our dating episode with Tommy, we were answering Q&A questions.
We
were talking about it. And I saw there was a comment that was like, I don't know if Shane should be giving advice. He's been single for like 7 years. And I'm just like, I'm like, okay, that's fair. That's what it probably looks like.
Yeah.
And there were times where I'm like, people probably think that I just am completely alone.
It's hard. Yeah, that's hard.
But I also, you know, my entire time on Smosh, I just have always separated that part of my life because I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard to like not show that you're dating somebody.
Exactly.
It's not that crazy. Like my previous relationship, we were both influencers, but no one really knew, just simply because we weren't posting about it all the time.
Right.
So it's like not like this crazy secret that we were trying, like we weren't really trying that hard. We just weren't we weren't announcing it.
There were plenty of times where it was like we posted stuff and it was like very clear.
Yeah, like we were both in London. Like
it was definitely funny. And it was moments like that where it's like, all right, we're not gonna keep this secret forever.
No, like, and we're we throughout our entire relationship, we weren't gonna deny ourselves the experience of being in a relationship. So people were taking photos with us in public, it was like, yeah, like we weren't, it's not like we were like, we can't touch, we can't be standing too close. Like we didn't want to make that part of our whole life.
Mm-hmm. We just didn't want to make it content.
Right.
And I think that's still going forward how we feel of like, we're not going to be making couples content. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not in our plans. And that's just because we both love what we do as individual performers and stuff. That's not saying we're never going to make anything together. Or like,
no.
But just that's our vibe.
Your couple stuff is it's sacred, and also like it's yours. Do you know what I mean? Like it is your decision when and where and how you want to share it.
Yeah,
like wedding photos, like it's always going to be now. That's the cool part, is like now it's your guys' decision moving forward, doing things together. I think that's the coolest part about being married.
And truthfully, for our fans, like there's not much of my private life that isn't on Smosh. Like whenever we do two truths, one lie, the problem every time is I'm like, I don't know what I haven't shared at this point. Yeah. I think our fans know. And I will say something and fans will be like, oh yeah, Shane shared that like a few years ago. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, yeah.
It's hard. Our job is literally sharing our personal life.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize like all of our videos nowadays are like an hour long. And it's like, it's hours upon hour. Like a lot of our days are on camera, like hanging out, talking. It's a blast, but it's also a lot of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we started 9 years ago. I mean, like we literally had our callback audition at the same time. We both sat in front of Ian and Anthony and Joe Beretta, and like 9 years have passed. So people have seen us grow and change, but also like our fan base has grown and changed. So not remembering information that we've shared makes sense. But also it's like, well, we don't know who in this current era of our audience knows that stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's also what felt like such a big deal announcing this stuff, was because like this job, like, and that's why we kind of cared about this relationship so much and keeping it kind of private, because like we've been at Smosh for 9 years. Like we just started our 10th year. And yeah, it's just like the stakes are high, and it, like certain people online made it feel like really scary to put that information out there. Like as someone who has dealt with actual stalkers, like some of the behavior regarding us, it teetered on that line, and that made it really scary for me, because prying eyes or prying mouses, iPhones, I don't know. It made me really protective of this relationship, especially like some of the things people were doing online, like I said, teetered on stalking behavior. And even though some of it maybe felt innocent to the people who were doing it, the information they were putting out there was then accessible to people who should not have that information.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It could go into the wrong hands. And so, and I talked to both of you about this, like, I had like a grieving moment of like saying goodbye to keeping that relationship, this relationship, like as just our thing. And yeah, it was like a weird mourning moment. Like, okay, this isn't just ours anymore. Like now the whole world is perceiving it. And like, it's a lot. Like I get emotional just thinking about it, because it's like the internet can make things really scary.
Yeah. It's so many people. I mean, our Instagram post, I mean, it got just an absurd amount.
Thank you. I don't know why. I'm just like,
it's real. I think just getting married, you go through a mourning process. You grieve like an old part of yourself. You're not only grieving an old part of yourself, you're grieving so much more. And grieving isn't a bad thing. You're just kind of like, I'm not going to be that anymore. I'm going to now be this. Mm. And that is such an intense emotion.
It can be. And it's also like I'm different, but I'm also literally the same. Like I had people text me being like, do you feel different? And I'm like, I grew up thinking marriage was going to be like the thing, you know, being a Mormon woman raised person. Like it definitely like felt like a big deal, but it's like, I think still clinging to me, and like, I still have this gravitational pull toward entertainment and making people laugh and forget about their problems. And so, like, I didn't want to be, like you said, like, pigeonholed into a wife, you know? And, like,
yeah. And now you're not.
This episode of Smosh Mouth is brought to you by Aura Frames. Aura Frames are some incredible digital picture frames that are easy to use, easy to set up. And all you have to do is have the Aura app on your phone, and you can upload photos from pretty much anywhere and any device that you log into your account with. It's awesome. I have one at home, and it's really cool.
My grandmother has one, so I can send photos anytime. There's no memory card required. and it has unlimited storage.
Yeah, and they look great too. Like, it's calibrated in a way that the photos look like real pictures, and the frames are really cool. It's a really awesome, like, centerpiece to have at your place.
Yeah.
And it's fun to change them up at any time. So depending on the time of year, like, you know, we're getting into summer soon. Like, you can have a bunch of summer photos in it. And then once winter comes, you can kind of change it all up on the fly at any time you want from pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, and you can react to the photos with emojis, which I think is so cute.
So sweet.
Right now, you can save on the perfect gift that keeps on giving by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners get $20 off their best-selling frame with code SMOSH. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code SMOSH. Terms and conditions apply.
Back to the show. I feel the same exact way. But there's still so much that is ours. And I think by the whole point of what we really wanted to do with this episode is to kind of communicate that with our fans. Because what was really cool about this announcement was seeing how many people were happy for us. And that was fascinating to me. Just genuine happiness for us and believing in us. And so that was really cool, you know, and I'm someone who doesn't share a lot. Fans know, like, I'm a super private person.
Yeah.
Probably the most private out of everyone on Smosh.
Yeah.
And so it was scary for me. And I think the response already, I don't think people are putting you in that box. Cause I think you have shown just how powerful and how much talent and just how entertaining you are by this point that. And I think it's a good thing that we kept it to ourselves, because I think we built up to this point, and especially with all the bullshit we've gone through over years, like it was the perfect time, I think.
Yeah, and it was like I wanted to do it. I'm glad we did it, and like, because it would have been like painful to try and keep this like huge part of our lives, like and our dynamic, like a secret from everyone. And I think also us announcing it was like us like taking back our narrative and
exactly.
like hopefully shutting down a lot of that stuff. It unfortunately brought up a lot of crap again of people thinking like, oh, now it's okay to bring all that up. And it's like, it's hard when you're online and like, everyone's got an Instagram, you know, our families do, and like I can only protect them so much. And like, we signed on to this job. We agreed to being public figures, but that does not make it okay to treat people like this puzzle that they can rip apart and dissect. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think a lot of people think like, well, you're a public figure, like you have to expect this kind of treatment. And it's like, no, we're still human beings.
You can expect it. That doesn't make it right. Like it doesn't. And it is frustrating. And I said this on Assumptions on Anthony's channel, of just like, anything that I post on my social media or I talk about here, like, I'm like, that's what I'm sharing with you. If you're seeking something out that I didn't, then I'm upset. I don't view you as a fan anymore. Like that's where I'm like, you're being invasive. Like, what? I haven't talked about it or posted about it for a reason.
Yeah.
There's so much. I don't know how many hours of content there is out there of me. Like it's weeks or months of video footage. But
Like, stop trying to figure out how many people I've killed. Like like I haven't posted about it. So
yeah. And it's a lot.
I will say the thing I do enjoy, and I think this is totally fine, is people going back and trying to find Easter eggs in Smosh content.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, okay, I think I saw this moment here or whatever. And some of them, unfortunately, I just have to say are bullshit. Like, it's just
not
nothing.
Accurate.
But some people are finding stuff where I'm like, okay, maybe that was something. Or they're like jokes, like little hidden jokes and things.
Yeah. Or like, see the way she was looking at him. It's like, I look at Angela that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they put...
Spencer looks at Mountain Dew Kickstarter.
He's like...
Well, he is married to that.
I think it makes more intense eye contact with you throughout the day than anyone here.
I mean, like I said, on my assumptions that people think that Angela and I are... Like, there's this fan video that Angela sent to me, and it's me in, like, grayed out, like, color, and it's me... on the Smosh set, like, da-na-na-na-na, and I'm like kind of laughing, but not, or whatever. And then it's like once Angela came in, there's like sunlight.
We're
like hugging. I'm looking at her with like eyes.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, wow, Ange, you and me are together. She's like, I knew it.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's crazy because even before we were dating, there'd be edits like that of us, and of course. But like, there was ones, I remember me and Olivia were like posting on our stories laughing at them because they would make entire like stories where it's like we were fighting and then we were together and then Shane got hit by a car. And, no. And he's in the hospital. And they would use like sketch footage and all these things to create like a soap opera.
Y'all are kind of brilliant because you just made a whole show.
No.
No, I truly have so much respect for people who make edits in any capacity. As an editor or someone, that's how I first started with videos. It's like I love it. It's so awesome.
They're so funny. Really funny. I love the music and it's like
really insane.
I'm waiting for my next one with Angela. Like, where are we at now?
You're asking for it.
Give
they're going to make it.
Give us our honeymoon. Because we've just been together. We haven't,
when will Amanda get hit by a car?
Yeah. Boom. And then Angela's like, no. I want to see that.
The only other thing from fans' response, they're obsessed with the rings.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Yeah.
They are obsessed with, they're like, Shane's not wearing his ring there.
The rings.
He's not wearing his ring or whatever. He's wearing his ring, not wearing his ring.
Oh.
I'm wearing it, but I'm not like a ring person. So it's definitely an adjustment.
It's
for
an
me.
Adjustment, right?
I sometimes put it on my necklace.
Yeah, but it's something that I would expect. Do you wear your ring 24/7?
No. I wear my ring every day, but when I go to bed, I have these, our jeweler made these like wooden boxes that have like this felt inside. And it's like, she has this really cool symbol on it that's about like earth and the connection to earth. And so at night, I like put it in there and it's like a little felt thing.
Planted in the soil.
Yeah, exactly. And then it grows. But it's funny because H never wore rings and he has this like thick gold ring, and I remember him being like this feels weird, like it feels, and now when he doesn't wear it and he wears it 24/7, he's like, I feel naked without it.
Wow.
So it like kind of becomes an interesting thing.
Yeah, I've heard that,
but no, I don't wear it to work out.
Feel like people who wear it 24/7, I'm like, I couldn't go to the gym with this. Like, I would either make it stinky, like, I feel like I would break it on equipment.
I'm afraid of losing it.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear. I'd rather not be wearing it.
And swimming in the ocean? No.
Oh, yeah, God knows.
Yeah, no. Or if I'm, like, eating, like, wings, I gotta take this shit off.
Same. If I'm making bread or anything,
or
I'm like...
Or if Bilbo's around?
Don't start.
If Bilbo Baggins is around, and he's
Bilbo.
Just like, can I try it?
Yeah, he's like,
gay!
You haven't heard of the story of Bilbo?
I press it.
That's been our fans with my ring. They're just like, hey, like,
where
is it?
And you're like, I'm going to drop it. Ah!
I got to take it to Mount Doom.
Yeah, and people in the comments are like, all right, chill. Like, people take their rings off, which is nice. I feel What's been really awesome about this as well, too, is like I've felt a lot more embraced and almost protected in a lot of ways. Like our
the
love and celebration, I was not expecting the amount that we got. Like truly, I thought people were just going to be shocked because people online like instantly just want to turn everything into a meme and not take it seriously. And like, that's fine. Like we're in comedy, for Christ's sake. But like it was so much just happiness and celebration after like people were a little more certain of it. Like, you know, after the people.com article came out.
Well, they didn't contact me, so I'm a little upset.
Okay.
I tried.
Yeah, Courtney tried.
Tell this story.
They reached out, and I was like, no freaking way. People.com. This is so funny. And
yeah,
so,
like they emailed. They're like, hey, we'd like to get comment. Do you care to reply with comment or something?
And so you were kind of like drafting up like what you say. And then I was like, oh my God, can you include Amanda in this response?
Yeah, I literally
you
tried.
Guys are so cute.
I was like, they were like, can you comment on this? Like, are you guys, is this real? And I was like, yeah, I wrote the little blurb. But it's like, also, we got married at the same place Amanda got married to. And she's a huge people.com fan. If you wanted to include that in there or not.
They were like, we don't give a fuck. Like, nah. We just care about YouTube. Too, and we don't care about Amanda and her weird tall man. He's not from this country, man. And we don't want that.
I remember someone created a fake people.com article on Twitter or something, and then like literally an hour later, the real one came out. Like they acted fast.
I mean, whether they, you know, had me in there or not, or asked me to be a correspondent that's near here or there, whatever.
Right.
But when I went on my normal people.com every day, I was like, there's Courtney and Shane. And I filmed it and sent it to you. And I read the whole article. I was like, hey, look. And he was like, yeah, you know their story. I was like, yeah, but people.com. They got the scoop.
They've
they
got it.
They got the scoop first.
We
got
to get a hard copy.
I know. I think it was on an actual.
I think it's in an actual issue.
Oh my God. Can we put it like back here?
Slam it up there.
Just behind
me,
though.
Put it on the fridge.
Not behind you. Just
put it
behind
on this.
That's actually awesome. We should find it. It should be still out.
It's so awesome.
It's crazy. That shocked me. I think that's where I was like, I was not expecting it.
Yeah, holy shit. And I guess people.com, it's like, or people, it's pretty common to cover like weddings.
Yeah.
They love their weddings.
Well, people just love. Couples.
They love people.
They love this stuff.
They love
people.
Couples.
The magazine and people.
And people in general. And I think that's why the response to it, it kind of surprised me in a lot of ways because it's not the type of content I consume.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm on YouTube watching people make terrariums inside jars.
That's actually awesome.
It's the best. Those are my YouTubers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm watching. They're like, I've had this ecosystem in this mason jar
for
a whole year. And here's the life that's existed in it for
that's
a whole year.
That's actually awesome.
It's the best.
There is this one YouTuber that I think it's really cool how she goes about because she's married and recently it's changed a little bit. But for a long time, this one YouTuber, Lauren Giraldo, like she's always done like a vlogging, like this is my life channel. And she has a boyfriend that she was living with and like he would be around but it wasn't the content and like I thought that was I think that that's really cool that it's like it's about her and if he pops in great but it's not about her, it's her life. And like if I continue my personal YouTube career, like it'd probably be closer to that. Like I don't plan on making couples content with you, it's gonna be about the me. But if you're around or if anything changes, it might
looking at terrariums, he might just be like, hey,
he's just got a little shrimp. He's like, this one's gonna clean the tank. And he plops
one little
it
shrimp
in
here. This is his house.
So you might be an extra in her vlogs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm the main character. Shane's just an NPC.
That's right, honey.
That's just me.
I'm so sorry. That felt very cringe.
But it's great.
We're gonna leave that in.
Fuck.
It's interesting at this point because there's so many. There's ones that work. There's ones that it's scary like with couples on YouTube because there's been a lot of weird ones over the years. Like, and you just like. Just where it's like messy and I don't know.
I mean, since this is a topical episode, the Joey Graceffa and his ex video coming.
Oh my God.
And
yeah, that shit
online
has been crazy.
Beeps are happening now. But
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's I don't really know much about it either, but it's like that is not our thing. Like we love comedy, we love it performing and like should we ever split for whatever reason, not wearing our rings is not going to be how you find out.
Yeah.
That's like, how you find out we prank you with that.
Yeah. You don't want that. Like there are so many celebrities that just like don't even want you to know their partner's name because
right.
they don't want, like, the Easter eggs that people are finding in your old videos, they don't want that for, like, your future.
Right.
To be like, uh-oh, Courtney is at the grocery store by herself.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, Ryan Gosling's super private about his marriage and stuff, and I think he and I are pretty similar.
Okay, so, Jesus Christ.
Same
I mean,
guy.
Sometimes I am, like, Eva Mendes on her Instagram, I'm like, where is Ryan?
Where is he?
She's like in her gorgeous dresses and she's like, I don't know who's running her Instagram or it's just her, but like sometimes I'm like, what's going on, Eva? Like it's just like pictures of her being like, and I'm like, where is Ryan?
Her lip quivers.
I do understand because of the nature of so much content why people like are interested or expecting more because there's so many creators out there who just air out everything.
Everything.
And I gotta be honest, whenever they're doing it, I'm watching.
Yeah.
I can't help
you
but watch.
Look at Love Is Blind.
Freaking go for it. All of it. Well, I mean, so many podcasts out there. I mean, it's like, oh, so you're just talking about anything.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
No, you know that feeling when you feel like you overshared, like when I told everyone that I watch YouTube compilation kisses? you go home in your car and you're like, and it strikes you in the car like, you overshared.
Yeah.
You overshared. And then I go, And then it takes like days to be like, okay. It's okay that you overshared. It's okay.
No, literally, even if I'm just like talking to you and I feel like I told you too much about like a gyno appointment, I'm in my car and I'm like, shared too much.
Never care about that. Literally never care about that. But
physically cringing though. Just like,
you share too much about your gyno appointment when Ian's sitting right there.
Oh,
that's the hardest part.
No, because he will weaponize that later. He will weaponize it.
I straight up did that
the other day. That's stored in there. That's going to come out in a year. And
yeah, no, he's going to.
You know when you've shared too much with Ian where he goes, wow. And you're like, oh no.
Ian gives you that like.
Yeah. I wish this no, didn't
when he doesn't have a response of like a whole paragraph about some article or documentary, then you know you said too much.
Yeah, you said too much. Cool.
Man, when we get this show to being like very topical, it's going to be fun talking about anything because I feel like I get to tell you about so much stuff.
I know.
Because so you didn't know about the Joey Graceffa X thing.
No.
I've only seen a
What's
few TikToks.
What's his name? It's unfortunate because someone roasted Joey Graceffa's ex by being only known as Joey Graceffa's ex.
Because
that's the meanest.
I know.
Certain YouTuber.
Name them.
Connor Franta. Okay. But then I realized that he's the most boring person.
And legend has it you are still jealous of me, Daniel. You have been subtweeting me. My name has been in your mouth and on your mind for years. You're obsessed with me. I don't know why. I don't think about you. The internet doesn't think about you. You are categorized as one thing, Joey Graceffa's ex-boyfriend. Leave me alone. If my crime is being boring, your crime is being nothing.
Impressive.
Chris Clemens, I think, called him a Topshop clearance mannequin from 2016. And I was just like,
ow!
I was like, holy shit.
Wait. That's pretty good, but women can kind of do that too. You know, Shogun, the lead guy in Shogun? My friend was like, he's like a Sheehan Tom Hardy. And I was like,
that's so real.
And I was thinking about? Because I was thinking about it too, because I was just like, straight guys are probably like the worst at insults, because, and we just aren't creative.
Yeah, like, cute skirt, bitch.
I also.
And you're like, they're jeans, you dumbass.
You know what I think? I was thinking about it, and this is my interpretation of what it is why when straight guys insult each other, it's really not that creative, is because I think straight guys are really insecure, so it doesn't take much. Mm. So they're just like, it's one-word things. They're just like, loser. Like, that's
like whatever, beta.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it takes.
You're like, ow.
Whereas anyone else, it's like, they're going to have to come up with more.
Oh, yeah.
They really.
They'll be like, one of your ears is messed up, and you're like, oh.
Like women, you're just scared because you're afraid to do anything in your entire life. Stupid bitch.
It's like they deconstruct everything, and you're like, oh,
yeah. Luckily, having sisters, like we do not do those type of insults on each other. We don't. But that's we'll kind of be like, oh my god, this person in my life, and then we'll go off, and then it's like, damn,
Jesus,
what do you say about me?
Yeah.
Like, whoo.
Yeah, women. Yeah.
Look, I'm impressed.
Well, because they see it.
Women, gaming.
Yeah, women, gaming. They're like listening and they see it and then they're like,
yeah.
But do you think that they sometimes, do you think that they like regret it after? Or does it feel like a good release when they say it?
I mean, some people like that when, like I said, these people who are just out there on their platforms and they're not holding back, I think that's who they are. And
you have to let go because it's like internet's forever, man.
They own it. But some people own it and they've been doing it for years and they're good at it.
Drew?
Yeah, Drew Afualo. Like, and I mean, and here's the thing. I'm like, I am not capable of that. But I have very much a level of respect for people who can do that. Because it's...
They nail it.
That's another level of being, like, unapologetically online. Like
that's a good one.
Because you will also... You do inevitably get so much, like, haters.
Oh, 100%.
You get so much haters. And I don't think we have many haters in our fan base. They roast us.
I wouldn't call them fans at a certain point.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it really is, like... Once you open the can of worms, it's never going to be able to be sealed shut. So once you're a creator online and you spill some tea, then people want the whole pot. Yeah. Like, and the bags, the tea bags, and the silverware.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about that whole TikTok story, Poopgate?
Poopgate?
Poopies?
Poopgate?
Wait. Are you talking about the poopies that I think you're talking about?
I don't know.
Wow. Why are you pulling your hand
away? Are you online in a way that I'm not?
Hello?
No, is this about...
Hello?
Okay, sorry. Say more.
Okay. It's about the female TikToker who lives in New York and lived with a Victoria's Secret model. And she revealed that she used to live with a Victoria's Secret model, didn't say her name, and this girl used to...
I heard about this.
...wipe her butt with poop and then keep the poop... keep the toilet paper in her bag. And then she went off, and then people went... Ham. Guys, I'm cool, okay?
Wait.
This whole story is to show you that I'm cool.
She would keep
this model was a horrible roommate.
Horrible roommate.
Stole clothes from the other tenants.
Yeah, so she spilled tea and then like showed pictures and then people went crazy. Like, who? And then
she figured it out.
She's like, oh shit. And now she has to do like a part two, part three, and then be like, guys, don't go after all the Victoria's Secret models, blah, blah, blah. But then she's like, okay, well, here's more. And it's now her TikTok is Poopgate.
Like, it's all Poopgate.
I think
that's
Poopgate
what you're
is like
for.
Watergate. Like, show us the files.
Yes,
that's that it is. It's no. That's.
Oh, I know something Shane didn't
know. I thought you were talking about something else, which is talking about topicality. It was the Shane Dawson Ryland Adams podcast of talking about poopies, which I don't know enough to talk about, but it's topical.
Uh-oh. Poopies?
There's always...
There's just rumors about YouTubers pooping around the house and leaving the poop around.
Dude, what is going on? Dude.
People are weird with poop.
You gotta clean
I did. I did this morning get served a TikTok where a girl was showing, like, she poops in her backyard. And she, like, digs
I don't think that's, like, the worst.
Well, it's not as bad as pooping around the house.
Or
to where you poop, and that's not as bad.
Wipe. Put in purse.
That's crazy.
I would like
room.
I don't understand that.
Let's wrap up the poopy talk. Please.
Okay, enough poopy talk.
You're like, yay, it's topical. Let's get straight to it.
Can I vent about something though with TikTok that I don't think I've shared that bothers me more than anything on TikTok, which is when people start off and they're like, I have the craziest story. So I had a manager at my job who tried to run me over with their car, and they start telling the story, and then it gets to like the end of the TikTok and they don't get to the crazy part. And then you're like, where's part two? You find part two and it's them in bed and they're like, sorry, I don't have any makeup on. I did not expect this to blow up.
God, it's all on purpose.
And then they and I'm just like, what?
It's on purpose.
I'm like, what are you doing? You didn't expect it to blow up. You said an insane thing. Like, and then it's like a day later, and you're like, and they always say, I'm so sorry. My face is so puffy, and I don't have makeup on. I'm so sorry. Like, and I'm like, what? Like, we don't care.
You were hit by a car.
I was like, whenever people apologize for not wearing makeup on TikTok, I'm like, do you understand the shit that I'm seeing on TikTok?
Yes.
I just saw five insane videos. I don't care about someone not in makeup. What?
True. Do you think they do that on purpose? Do you think they end it and then set it up so they can have a part two?
Part two, they often are just like, anyways, so, and then just like,
It happened, and then nothing.
It's like not actually interesting. Yeah. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I can't
stand. Come on, tell
that.
A story.
You know,
if it's not all encompassed in one TikTok, TikToks could be like 10 minutes. Like,
I can't stand that.
Encompass it in one video. Don't make a part two.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Do you know? So you know how you're like going down your TikToks? Well, I kind of took your inspiration from you. I started going on Reddit. Me, Amanda, going on Reddit. Because, specifically for a reason, and now I'm like kind of hooked, I needed a new podcast to listen to.
Okay.
There's a whole Reddit about podcasts.
Yeah.
And they gave me one, and I am addicted to it. It was called Bear Brook. It's like an old cold case crime in New Hampshire. And I was like, oh my God, I know I'm super late, but like Reddit has so many great opinions. Everything. And so they give you all like, oh yeah, but guys, don't do this, don't do this. Mm. And for so many years, I've been like, I wish there was just like a Google form or something that would tell me what to watch and what I should watch and what doesn't.
No, it really is great because I remember years ago I was like, does anybody ever get this thing where they suddenly feel like music sounds too fast to them and it's almost like an anxiety attack, but it's not.
Yeah.
And like, I would try and Google it and try to like WebMD it and it would be nothing. But then Reddit would be like, yes, I get this too, where music feels like it's at a different pace and that feels like time is moving in a weird pace. And like,
wait, I get that too.
What is that?
I don't know. But now I'm going to look on Reddit.
There was a lot of people on Reddit who were like, yeah, there's supposedly a term that might be this, but it also could be this. And it's like,
does
people got to come together.
Hair in your ears?
Hair in your ears? Whoa.
That's when you get vertigo.
Whoa.
Hair in your ears go the opposite way.
You guys are time traveling.
You're crazy. Hey, you're crazy.
No, and I'll need to like put on a really slow song to like calm myself down sometimes and like get out of it.
I've gotten this a bunch. So now I need to look at it.
I used to like wake up really early in the morning for school and be like, why does everything feel like it's moving? Like, I feel like I'm moving faster than normal.
Yep.
Like, what's going on?
Yep.
And Reddit people
Holy
were like,
shit.
me too.
I kind of just like X-nayed that. I would never find an answer to that.
It doesn't happen as much anymore, but it still occasionally would happen where it's like, I'm just like putting
my hands up. Shane, get out of here.
Shane,
right.
Go. We want to talk about speed of time.
Man, I'm trying to think. We were watching, we just finished Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
All of us did.
Yeah, we
that
all
That show,
did.
Insane. Everyone should watch that show. But it's intense.
There are some trigger warnings in there.
Yeah,
I would
say pretty much
everyone. Yeah. Like, pretty, like, you want to be in a good headspace watching it. Mm-hmm. But the acting and the performance, and it's so beautifully shot. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive. Like, and it had triggers that affect me, but I was able to get through them because of the performance and the way the cinematography was all really, mm-hmm. like, good in a way that kind of took me away from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, talking about all that, like,
ooh-wee,
to deal with a stalker in 2015, 2016, like, where people really weren't aware of like online stalking and,
yep.
and stuff back then, nightmare town. But that show was really
He's
well done.
So talented. Richard Gadd, I believe
yeah.
is his name. Writer, creator, stars in it. Just like, also about sharing your story, like so vulnerable to
yes.
share
Intense.
What he shares.
And to
and no
act
spoilers,
in it.
Obviously, but like, and to act in it, but like he shares so much and to act in it, AKA to volunteer to relive it.
Yeah.
Insane.
But I will say, I think what you were saying too is like the way it shot, it felt very, it was like fast paced in a way where like it felt like a comedy,
like a
but
play.
It was a
yeah.
drama, and I just thought it was so well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the episodes
so
just flew,
and the acting again,
yeah,
amazing.
Baby Reindeer,
so
all across
good.
The board,
so good.
You watched all of Fallout, right? Did you watch Fallout?
I didn't watch all of Fallout. I am on episode 2,
dude,
because I'm watching Shogun. I also want to watch Under the Bridge, a Hulu with Lily Gladstone and.
Okay.
Riley, Lisa Marie Presley's daughter. It's a detective series.
Okay, of course.
And I also love Lily Gladstone. And I did watch 2 episodes of Fallout and had some effed up dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like, and I love her. She's from Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And the guy is from Twin Peaks, her dad. But like, damn, I was like,
that's
whoa, not expecting it.
Yeah. I went on to play like another 8 hours of Fallout 4 after I watched the show, because Fallout 4 was like the first one I watched and it's the best graphics. And so the show, I was like, holy shit, I feel like I'm in the game. It was so like,
yeah, when you're watching it, just because I've never played the game, when you're watching it, does it feel like you're in the video
it's
game?
It's trippy. I'll be like, I'll see a lamp in the background and I'm like,
no, they copied the games very well.
They got to use the video game as like a lookbook of what they wanted the show to look like, and everyone honored it. And Emily, our director of Pitt, she's a huge Fallout nerd, and she was like, this is a love letter to the game.
Yeah.
And like the story, because, you know, it can be tough when a video game or something like that gets turned into a live action, whether it's a show or a movie, it's a gamble. We'll see how bad or good it is. But this one, like, they didn't overthink the plot at all. They leaned into what the game is, and like the soundtrack is like exactly what it should be. So good.
Is it like... So, like, The Last of Us, I never played that game. Is that kind of a similar vibe?
Yeah, Last of Us is literally, like, the game is a storyboard of the show. Like,
I loved The Last of Us.
It's pretty much the first game one-to-one.
Yeah.
With some changes, but it's very similar.
Do you think, like, art department is kind of obsessed with, like, getting the lookbook from the video game and then being like, ooh.
I think they hire, when they hire the right people.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things where they hire and it's people who... didn't know.
Reinvent the wheel.
Or they just didn't know or respect the original content. And I think it's important to see my critique of Last of Us is I'm like, it's cool, it's one to one, but I'm like, sometimes I'm like, my view of it, because people do get upset, and I get upset too when something feels too different, but I'm like, once it's a TV show, I'm like, it's a new thing. It's a brand new thing, and I have to remove that part of me that enjoyed the video game or the book. And this is a new thing. Because, like, you know,
books
are
tough.
I read Dune, but I was like, okay, this is a whole new thing. Now, granted, I think the movies are, I enjoyed the movies more, but like.
What about the original compared to the book?
I never watched. I tried to watch the original. I got 5 minutes in. I was like, I cannot fucking.
Dude, I watched the whole original.
That shit is ridiculous.
It is outrageous.
No, it's so stupid.
I've
seen a lot of clips. So I'm just
but
like,
it feels very like Twin Peaks vibes. Like he's cool actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Well, the same director of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, yeah. David Lynch.
He's insane.
So cool.
But I like that about Fallout. It's like it's a new story, and they did really honor the game.
The music,
and I get the dreams too.
I want the second season. I want the second season to, because they kind of had like different archetypes of characters of different play styles. They didn't have the type of play style I do in Fallout, which I feel like most people do, which is really sneaky person with just a pistol, but I'm super, nobody ever sees me.
Are you in the real world or in like the bunker? Is it ever played
you
in
start,
the bunker?
So
Fallout 4, you start in a vault.
All the games are played a little differently because there's Fallout. I played Fallout 3 back in the day where you play as someone who grew up in the vault. So you're a baby. You're kind of like the main character where you grew up in there. You never experienced life before the nuclear devastation. And then Fallout 4, you play someone who's, you're witnessing the explosions. You get to a vault. You get in. You get cryogenically frozen. Fallout New Vegas, you play as just a guy out in the wasteland. You wake up. Someone had tried to murder you. You were shot in the head, but you survived. And then you're trying to find who tried to kill you. That's the whole plot of that
game. Wait, that's fun.
That game is people consider the best. But I
think me starting video games like full time is very dangerous.
Oh, Fallout would be Fallout's a lot.
Yeah.
I think I would get like addicted.
Fallout's a lot. It's
a time consuming game.
But you would love it if you play. Here's what I think you would do, and I don't mean this to be condescending. I think you would play it on like super very easy because part of the fun of those games is just going around and talking to people and engaging and like engaging with characters and making character choices.
Uh huh.
I think you'd have more fun playing Baldur's Gate in that way.
I set Fallout to easy because I care about the story and I still like to have fun. And like a game shouldn't be stressful to me. Like I hate when it gets too scary. Like Shane has seen me where I'm like, oh God.
Oh yeah. No, I'll be reading in the other room and I just hear no, no. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God! No! 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 And I'm just sitting there, just like. Meanwhile, when I play video games, I'm just like locked in.
Dude,
your eyes are like.
I'm just there, just like.
I can relate to you on that because I'll be like doing my own thing, and H will be like, "Don't do that! Don't do that! Don't go in there! Don't go in there!" Or he'll be like. Don't go in there. Don't go in there.
Oh,
and
my
another
God.
Language, like,
oh, yeah. He'll play with people who speak Russian sometimes. So it's like a whole.
That's got to be
a whole
so funny.
He has like an office space where we get to shut the door. But sometimes when we open, he'll be like, don't go in there. Don't go in there. I'll be like, fuck. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, nothing. I just couldn't go in the room. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's my
so
God.
Funny.
I mean, you see me in gaming videos, like with Minecraft, I'm screaming like a crazy person.
No, we all have different gaming styles. Because for me, Courtney knows. I'm like, my favorite time to game is early in the morning.
What?
Oh, yeah, dude. If I wake up at, I'll wake up at like 6 a.m. and I'm like, hell yeah, dude, it's time to game. And like, it's low volume and I'm just chilling, like playing Zelda. I'm like, that's the best.
Wow.
I got a cup of coffee. Just no, there was sitting there.
The Hades soundtrack. I've never played Hades, but it was stuck in my head for months.
You you love music, like music connected to gaming.
I love music. I have a very special relationship with music,
you
period.
Do.
But,
you do.
But yeah, because I think music has such a strong impact on movies and everything.
Agreed.
Like it can make it or break it sometimes. But
I totally agree.
But yeah, you're a freak.
Yeah, you're a little
freak.
See, I like my coffee. I pull tarot. I like do journal. I like cannot handle sounds in the morning.
Well, I have it on low volume.
Meanwhile, I'm
You're fine. You're fine.
It's while you're pulling your tarot and drinking your coffee, and while you're playing games and murdering people, I'm asleep.
That's nice.
That's nice.
That's nice.
I'm dreaming
that's
about Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout gave me effed up dreams. Yeah. So did Shogun. I want my men and I want my ship. I want my men and I want my ship, you cocksucker. I cannot stop doing his voice.
I know, man. It's intense.
It's crazy. No, that's not it.
So she good. And Tom Hardy.
She and Tom Hardy. When my friend said that, I was like, "Slay, queen."
Slay. So I feel like we're getting towards the end here.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing I'll ask Amanda: do you have any advice for us?
Oh.
Just throwing you on the spot, anyways.
Well, I will be married almost 1 year.
Woo!
Wow.
And we've been together. We thought we were together 8 years, but we've been together 9.
Okay.
Which is hilarious. We're like, oh, fuck. Oh, it's been 9 years.
Oh, right.
Wow.
My biggest advice I would say is like, just say sorry. Like, just say sorry. And another thing is like, really communicate your little routines. Like we have this thing now where I come home and I need to vent my day, but sometimes I don't want to put it on him. So I'll come in and be like in this weird place for like an hour. And he's like, hey, it's better if you just vent your day like right off the bat so that we can just get into the night and have a good time. And I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to stop being parts of myself to like make this work. Like not saying like you're married, just like be like, ah, fuck, here it is. But it's like I get to we actually get to like problem solve things that work for both of us. The biggest advice is just say sorry and like really, really communicate what you need, because it's way worse to cold shoulder. And trust me, sometimes I'm like, I want to cold shoulder you so hard right now. It's like, I don't want to cry right now. I don't want to like open up right now. I want to just be angry. It feels good right now for me to be like in this angry place. But I promise it's just like so much better to just like release it and say sorry. Even if you're like, I know I was right. But it's like, just say sorry. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest advice.
Epic.
Yeah, but I love being married. I really do. And for me, it definitely felt a little bit different. Like, I don't think I changed, but our relationship changed. Like, it just, a lot of pressure went off, because after you get married, like 6 months after, you're in this like, I don't even know what it is. It's like Avatar. You're like in this like, like this like, ding, 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 like this weird world. Hmm. You're like high emotion, high intensity. Everything that touches you feels like, I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's all the attention you get, all the energy you get, all like even gifts or celebration or like cheers or like, oh, let me see the ring. Or like, it's like this like, what are those Avatar things where they're like, boom.
The little jellyfish.
I know what you're talking
about. So it feels like you're like in this.
Yeah, and it's a lot of being perceived.
It's a lot of being perceived, and it's really, really cool. And you sometimes feel like you're like, wait, you're like overwhelmed by it, and then you're like, I don't want it to end. And it's like this weird push and pull. And when that subsides, it's really cool.
Cool.
It's like calm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
And you didn't get to share the other news about you.
What? Oh, yeah.
What?
The thing that some people have clocked is that I
here's the real tell all.
I also I also have two cats. Like our cats are also
Shane's a cat dad.
And I have
Have
been for a minute.
Yeah.
Bones is your nemesis. Cats.
Bones is my nemesis.
Okay, so
love him, but
Bones is your nemesis.
Yeah.
Bones is a
boy. Girl,
boy. And then you have another cat.
Birdie is my soulmate.
Birdie's in love with Courtney.
That's so
she's very
cute.
Sweet to me too, but Bones,
yeah,
Bones is like we're best buds, but he's also like a huge jerk to me.
Yeah, Birdie was. She's like
we're literally best buds, but no, we also hate each other.
No, he's like he's a menace. Like Bones, he's the sweetest, most social, cuddly, like aggressively, like you will hold me now, cat.
Oh my god.
But he's also a troublemaker. Like he's a disrespectful little guy.
He is super disrespectful.
But we love him. And then yeah, Birdie, she's very loving, but she's really skittish. Like no guests never really see her.
Yeah.
But like it took her a long time, but she loves you now. She's
loves you.
She goes up to him. She's very vocal now. Like it took her a long time because we rescued them when they were 8 months, and now they're
so you rescued them together. They weren't like you guys had them on your own and then brought
them in. Bones met Bones. I just called you Bones. Shane and I went together. They were my cats that I was adopting, but like. You were with me when we met them. You helped me pick them, and you named Bones, and I named Birdie. So they're ours. They're like ours.
We'll tell that story and maybe another time.
Okay,
so more of it. Like,
oh, okay.
We're running out of time here.
You guys are cat. You guys are cat parents.
But we are cat parents.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And they're siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, they're actual siblings.
They were in the
same
litter.
I did not know that.
Different dads, I think, but
that's okay. Dads, man, they're always running out.
Those dads.
All right, well, we got to wrap this up.
Thanks for listening.
Thank
everyone.
You for sharing.
Thanks for giving us the space. Thanks for being patient.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. That was amazing.
Thanks for
love you.
Love you.
Thanks for being our marriage counselor.
Oh my god. Yeah, anytime. I'm like, "Hey, you know like an Avatar, things get crazy."
Great. So it's kind of like Avatar. Kind of
like
that.
You're in a suit and people are trying to take what's not theirs.
Well, and thank you, Courtney, for being here, and thanks for marrying me.
Oh yeah,
that was kind of chill of you.
That's really cute. Yeah, we have a special guest. Thanks for marrying Shane. Thank God.
Thank God. Anyways,
hey, anytime.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you next week. Next week's episode, we are talking all about Smosh the sitcom. We're having the writers of it, Sid and Olivia, here. It's gonna be chaos. It's gonna be really fun.
So excited.
But yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.